What's wrong with me? How often have you asked yourself that question? Could you have thought to yourself, maybe it's me. Maybe I am the problem. Then this inner dialogue starts. You start thinking these things to yourself. You should do better. Why don't you just keep going? You should be able to handle this. I feel guilty. Oftentimes, even working with my clients, I'll hear the word lazy being tossed around. I see this common thread with my clients because I found it within myself first. And I used that voice so much to keep me going because I thought it was motivating. It encouraged me to do better. It sounds so innocent. However, I learned that the voice of encouragement was actually a voice of survival rooted in a deep sense of shame. I'm not saying all survival is rooted in a deep sense of shame. I'm just saying for me personally, that's what I really learned. And for me, it was the reality that I thought something was wrong with me. It's why I internalized a lot of situations to mean something about me. My clients know I always ask them this question when they say something, and I'm like, well, what did you make it mean about you? Because what I'm talking about today, it's so sneaky how it kind of comes into our life and we don't even realize it. It's why I questioned motives or behaviors, or for me, especially when I felt the need and the need, because it's not completely done away with, to constantly defend myself, which was really pride. I'm doing a part one and a part two, in case you noticed in the title, because I want us to see how things can build in our life if we don't address the root of what's actually happening and what we're actually dealing with. And so next week, I'm going to talk about why being so hard on yourself is actually probably fueling your anxiety. And you might not even realize it. I know we've talked about control. I know we've talked about these things that have happened to us, but there's also something deeper, I believe, going on with inside of us. And so I don't do part one and part twos really ever, but I do feel like these two things are just in the forefront of my mind that I want to share with you about pride, shame, you know, this voice that sounds so motivating. But before we dive in, if you've been listening to the podcast and you're ready for more than just information, if you're ready to actually change the way you think and respond, my self-paced course, Untangle Your Thoughts, was created specifically for you. It's my step-by-step course where I help you understand why you think the way that you do and to process your emotions in a healthy way to renew your mind with the truth, so that you can really start to break free from these patterns that are keeping you stuck. All you have to do is, wherever you're listening to this episode, go to the title, click on the title. You're going to scroll down because you're going to see the show notes. And then right in there, you will see the link to get my self-paced course, Untangle Your Thoughts. More importantly, I just want to see you get unstuck, because I always say in my coaching sessions that you really are only one choice or one thought away from getting unstuck. I was recently taking a class for just continuing education for my certification of being a mental health coach. And she was talking about pride. And so my ears perked up, because there's times where I know that I struggle with this. And she merely said that pride is an ego defense mechanism. And that just kind of stopped me in my tracks. And this is where I started my deep dive into shame a little bit more than I already was. See, shame is not something that you wake up and go, I have shame today. This is what I'm feeling. It's not something that I hear often. But shame is really saying who I am is not enough. So when I started learning about the ego defense mechanism with pride, it's kind of like saying, look at what I've done. It's the need to defend your case, to prove who you are and what you can do. It's really to try to plead your case that you're good enough, that you are enough, because it's too painful to think about yourself as not being enough. And so your body turns it into pride and it starts to defend itself. And I found this so interesting the more I just started going into this deep dive. Obviously, I can't touch everything today, but I wanted to give you some key insights and takeaways. Because what I realized is that so many of my clients in my coaching sessions kept saying they felt guilty. This idea that they did something wrong. And now my goal is to help them break this down. You know, what is the difference? Do they understand the difference between guilt and shame? And can they see how it plays out in their own story? Because I believe naming how we feel, especially correctly, helps us to move through and understand so that we can get unstuck and stop circling the same mountains. Because as we partner with the Holy Spirit as our counselor, He can teach us in the way we should go. We read that in Psalm 32:8. Because shame tells us that who you are, the way God made you, the unfiltered, your quirks, your maybe humor, all the things, is somehow not enough. That you're inadequate, you're unworthy, you're invisible, that you're only valuable if you perform. Now, I do want to make it clear, because I don't want people like coming at me and saying, oh, well, we aren't good enough apart from Christ. That's not what I'm talking about here, because we're not, right? We don't have value outside of Christ, because it's Christ that gives us the value. But what I'm saying here is we don't even see ourselves worthy in the light of the Lord to even say that we have any worth. That's really what I'm talking about here. This authentic person that God made you to be, and you're saying that what He made was not good enough. And so it starts to kind of cascade. From there, shame gives birth to survival patterns, to stay emotionally safe, to earn love, to avoid rejection, to feel worthy. You have to learn strategies like, okay, raise your hand here, perfectionism, people pleasing, controlling, overthinking, or just relentlessly being hard on yourself. Did you ever think that feeling not good enough, this deep sense of who I am in the Lord and how He made me, is just not enough? That is actually birthing these survival patterns so that you can stay emotionally safe, so that you can try to get some kind of love, so that you can avoid the pain, so you can prove to others that you are worthy. And so here you are, showing up, trying to do it all perfect, perfectionism, people-pleasing, overthinking. And what happens is that those survival patterns and the fruit of that I just mentioned then turns into self-criticism that often disguises itself as encouragement. It convinces you that if you're hard enough on yourself, you'll finally become quote unquote good enough, even though it only reinforces the shame you're trying to escape. And I've seen this with my clients, even when they're trying to get good enough for God. They're trying to get on God's good graces, because who they are, they think there's something, this big broken piece in themselves that they gotta fix. So therefore, as I guide my clients through the truth, and as they begin to recognize that all this time they've carried a deep sense of shame that they haven't really been able to name, I help them see the way out. And again, I can only see this because I saw it in myself, that constant need to defend myself. That's a big one for me. Especially I can remember in my 20s, early 20s, just trying to take up space in a room to say, no, like I belong here. So when I'm helping them see the way out, I kind of am going to walk them through and go to Galatians 5, which is where I'm going to leave you today. This is where I really started to realize that the work, the ego defensive pride, is a work of the flesh. Because when Galatians 5 describes the works of the flesh, it is describing the human ego operating completely apart from the Holy Spirit. It's trying to survive. It's trying to protect itself in dominating by its own power. And I just never looked at it this way. But we see the fruit of the flesh, jealousies, strife. Those are the fruit of how we are operating apart from the Lord. Because in the end, it's this deep sense that I'm not good enough. What I have, jealousies, what I have isn't good enough. Strife, the need to defend ourselves. We see it throughout, again, the fruit of that flesh. And I was never really looking at it this way before. And I don't know about you, but it just helped me understand even more that our flesh cannot handle the vulnerable feeling of being unseen, forgotten, treated like a beginner, because it does not know how to trust God to defend its worth. It operates in survival mode. It manufactures as that defensive pride. It's a weapon of choice that we use to fight back, to stay in control, to prove its value. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to heal that underlying shame and assure you that you are entirely loved and accepted by God, you no longer need the flesh's weapons. So the Spirit replaces that kind of defensive armor that you have, the nobody's going to hurt me and I'm going to show them, as we read about it in the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. They are in constant war with each other, as it says in Galatians 5, 17, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. It's why you feel this internal war as you heal. I always tell my clients that you're going to feel this friction, this being uncomfortable, because the survival parts of you, the flesh, are learning to trust God, or to trust the Spirit, which is God. I'm passionate about this topic because, one, I have lived this in my own life, and two, because I've seen my clients get free each time they recognize how much shame they've been carrying, thinking it was guilt, and it was leading them nowhere but to condemnation. Again, no one wakes up thinking like, I have shame today, but the fruit of shame is telling them they have to run, they have to isolate, they have to protect, they have to defend themselves, that who they are isn't good enough. And so we start to say like, do better, fight more, keep going, don't stop. Why are you lazy? All of that is a fruit of something deeper going on within us. These kind of deeper feelings of inadequacy. You might be thinking, where do I go from here? I always think we have to start somewhere. And sometimes it's just the awareness. You've heard me probably talk about it a lot if you've been around, you know, here on the podcast, or maybe you're new, but are we even aware what we're thinking about? You know, you probably heard think about what you're thinking about. Like, are we aware of the narratives? Are we aware of our own patterns to stay safe, to not get any more pain in our lives? Those are some of the first places that you want to start. Like, what am I doing? Am I moving so fast in my life that I can't even think? And I'm just like, I don't care, whatever. You know, we just blow it off, but we might get physical symptoms, you know, physical illness or digestive issues or headaches. It's all connected. And so next week, I'm going to talk about how when it's not healed, how it can turn into anxiety and continue to fuel it, because then we are operating so much out of that flesh, out of that survival pattern, because we think we have to self-protect, because maybe we don't believe that God is going to take care of us or that he loves us enough, right? That inadequacy, that I'm not good enough even for God. I know that He loves everybody else, but maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe I did something. Maybe my past is too far gone. So next week, I want you to tune in. So if you don't already follow the podcast, make sure you hit follow. If you haven't left a review yet, please do. I see them. I read them. And I'm so grateful for your kind words. But also, it just helps other people know what the podcast's about and encourage them to follow as well. I just want to say thank you for being here, whether it's every week or whenever you have time. I don't take it lightly. You know, I know it's just me sitting here talking into a microphone and staring at a screen, but maybe for you, you are out on a walk watching nature, or you're folding laundry, or you're just in your car on your way to work. And I just want to say I'm grateful because I do see you. I do know the things that you are experiencing, maybe not personally or to the full extent, but I'm with you and I get it. But I also don't want you to stop, because you can get unstuck, not by your own strength, but with the strength of the Lord. I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that it challenged you to see the goodness of God in your life, and that whatever you are going through, God is with you and not punishing you. Share this episode with someone who has been praying for a mental breakthrough. Sometimes all we need is someone explaining something in a new and fresh way to get that breakthrough. Also, would you take 30 seconds to leave me a rating and review? It brings me so much joy to read them, and it's a way that lets me know you're enjoying the podcast. Lastly, go get my free 3-day study on how to deal with emotions in a biblical way. Psalm 18:19 reminds me of this. God delivers you because He delights in you. Don't forget that. I'll see you in a few days.